All right, welcome everyone. My name is David Greenwalt with Leanness Lifestyle University, and today I have on the phone with me the male grand champion of Bootcamp 15 2012. Welcome to the call, Kelly Broad.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Coach.
Kelly, tell us a little bit about yourself, if you would. You're the male grand champion of Bootcamp 15, a 20-week body transformation program that we have. But who are you really? What do you do? How old are you? Give us a little background on you.
Coach, I'm 46-year-old, single father of a 14-year-old daughter, and I guess probably the busiest person I know. Long been someone that wanted to be in shape again and lose weight, and I just never found time to do it. I'm a project manager for maintenance department of a large cement company in South Carolina, and that keeps me quite busy as well.
So, single father of a daughter, busy, work, plenty of things to keep you going. And you had mentioned something about you'd wanted to get back in shape again. So before we get into kind of where you went, was there a time that you think back on when you were in shape that you were referring to?
Yeah, when I was in my early 20s, I exercised a lot, worked out a lot. I didn't necessarily eat great, but I was able to overcome that with lots of exercise, youth, and energy, and burn up calories, I guess.
So you had a memory of that coming into this.
Yeah, you know, the strange thing about it is that even though I was in shape and could run a distance and lifted weights, I never really felt healthy.
Mm-hmm. You mean back in your 20s?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I felt like I was in shape and that I worked out, but I didn't have a healthy feeling, and I don't know, like I do now. And maybe that's some of that I attribute to the change in how I eat now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It can definitely be a part of it. Well, what's your history been like with weight then? You know, what's your background in fitness, if you have any, and how long have you been wanting to do this, or how long have you been battling weight?
Well, I've always had trouble. I say trouble. I've always been, you know, up and down, heavier. Like I said, I went in the military. When I was in the military, I dropped a bunch of weight because of their boot camp, and then gained some back, and then I'd start working out and lose some, and I did that through my 20s. And then when I got into my 30s, I got sedentary, and the weight just started packing on. And, you know, it was insidious. It was just a creep, just a few pounds, you know, every year. Year after year after year, you know, and then I got to a point as well, I need to lose some, and I'd, you know, cut back on this or cut back on that, or try this diet plan or try that diet plan or this pill or that pill, and you know, had some success, but never any kind of lasting success, never any kind of great success. Always gaining back the weight.
Mm-hmm. Not only did you not lose a ton of weight, but you didn't keep off what you lost.
No.
So what are we looking at for body stats? When you know when you what were you at your heaviest, and how tall are you, Kelly?
I'm 5'9". Well, I say I'm 5'10", but Kim would argue that I'm 5'9".
Okay.
5'9". At my heaviest last June of 2011, I hit 252 pounds, and I was miserable. Heaviest I'd ever been, and I was in horrible shape. I was in horrible health, diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and I knew that if I didn't do something, that I was heading down a road that I was never going to be able to come back from, health-wise. I did a little bit on my own, cut back on some stuff, and lost a little bit of weight, but really nothing great. And then Kim and I met, and she kind of got me involved with the Leanness Lifestyle website, and that led me to Bootcamp 15, or the Lifestyle 180, that started mm-hmm. last February.
So in June of 11, you were 252, and you said you knew you were about to get to a place where you couldn't come back from, and you were miserable. What do you mean by that exactly? What was actually miserable? What do you remember about that? And how did you know you were at a place where you may not be able to come back from?
I couldn't walk a flight of stairs without stopping and being out of breath. Just everyday life was a grind. I was unhappy with myself. I was unhappy with everything around me. I think my internal unhappiness bled out into everything in my life. I was at a point with my health, with the diabetes that, and with the high blood pressure that, you know, they were continuously up in the medication, up in the doses, changing to new medications to try and get better results for me, because I wasn't getting from the medication what I needed to get. The next step was going on insulin. And that's the point of no return. You know, you get that insulin and it's just one of those things that you may not be able to ever come back from yet. You know, you're on it and you end up stuck on it for the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
So I knew I had to make a change.
Well, I know a big part of that, you know, your why, as we would call it, is that precious daughter of yours. How did that play into your decision to jump into something or enroll in, you know, Lifestyle 180 that we were calling Boot Camp 15 when you were in it?
She deserves to have a parent in her life, a father in her life that's going to be there for her. The realization that my health was at a point that it was becoming uncontrollable for me, and that I might be going down that slippery slope to a rapid decline, was a good slap in the face. I needed to do something if I was going to be here for her. But I also came to the realization that everything that I am, she's becoming. All my good things, all the bad things, all my habits, what I eat, she was doing the same thing. And if this is what it led me to, it's what it was going to lead her to. And I wanted to be different. I wanted to be an example to her, and I wanted to be able to make a difference in her life too. I don't want her to have to do this all her life. I don't want her to have to learn the hard way. If she can learn some of the valuable lessons that I've learned about nutrition and how to live lean and how to be happy living lean, then that's a gift that you can't put a price on.
No argument here. And, you know, one thing I'll mention at this point, as I was thinking of this listening to you, is one of the most precious moments for me at our post boot camp get together celebration that we have at the end of our program for the graduates. One of the most precious moments for me was when she came up to me and thanked me for saving your life. And I'll tell you, if something doesn't hit you emotionally or hard, if that doesn't hit you emotionally or hard, nothing will. And I was incredibly grateful that, you know, that she said that she felt that. And I'm so glad that you've made this the choice that you have, the changes that you have, and that you're going to be around for her for a long, long time. She absolutely deserves you feeling the way you are, looking the way you are, being the example that you are. So I just wanted to say that it was a very precious moment for me.
Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know that she'd said that to you.
Oh, I couldn't remember if you were close by or not. There was so much going on. You know how the party is. But no, that was very precious to me. So, all right. So you were 252 at your heaviest in June of 11. And where do you weigh today?
Well, I weighed in at 174.4 today.
174.4. And how much did you lose in boot camp?
I think total we were somewhere around 67 pounds.
Yeah.
67 pounds, yeah. It was. Mm-hmm. I started at 238, and I finished up at 169. So
238 to 169, and as we're interviewing, this is a month and a couple of weeks after boot camp ended, and you're 174, so you're hanging tight. You're right in the sweet spot there. I mean, when you were 169 anyway, I think we had you figured at about somewhere in the 5% body fat range too. Is that right?
Yeah. I'd had it measured about 3 weeks prior to the graduation, and I still was able to lean down a little bit from there. I think we decided that, you know, my ultimate goal weight, my maintenance weight, was 170, 175, and I've been right around the 168 to 172, 174, up a little, down a little. I've been playing a little bit with some of my portions, with my proteins, and probably too much with the fruit, but we're right there in the area.
I want to be at anyhow.
Good. Yeah, no, you're doing, as you did in boot camp, you're continuing to do fantastic. Well, what, in your view, would you consider the most surprising change, positive change, about the process itself or just changes you've noticed since losing the weight?
You know, Dave, the physical changes were great. They were beyond what I expected or what I believed myself capable of. But more than that, I think the most surprising changes were the changes that you don't see, the changes in my feelings, how I deal with situations, changes in my thinking from the different lessons, learning about gratitude and learning about the ABCs and honoring myself, utilizing these, some of the lessons to deal better with the stress I have at work and also with life in general. Being able to better cope with the stress has been immensely helpful to me and not tripping offline, not, you know, having a meltdown. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. Yeah, it's the external changes are wonderful. 57 pounds. You know, the pitchers, you know, say a ton when it comes to the external. What the pitchers don't tell you is the other stuff you just talked about, which is the internal. And that's a huge part of what we focus on at Leanness Lifestyle University. So, yeah, absolutely. It makes perfect sense. Perfect. So you're talking about, you know, overcoming obstacles, you know, along the way and just being able to deal with those things better and that. Did you have any stumbling blocks along the way that you had to overcome, you know, in your transformation journey up to this point, or was just every day a bed of roses?
No, without a doubt, I had stumbling blocks. Three big ones that I can think of. You know, one of the stumbling blocks being time and the amount of time that it takes to have to dedicate to being successful at this. You know, being laying out plans, planning your food, planning your clothes for the day, having it all laid out so that you can get to all the stuff and get to your exercise and be able to do this. The other things were the control. I struggled with letting somebody else make decisions for me about what I'm going to do or how I'm going to do things. And, you know, that's just me internally. And I had to learn to deal with allowing somebody else to have control of some of the decisions I make, whether that was decisions about what kind of food I ate or how much exercise I did or, you know, how much weight I needed to lose in a certain amount of time. Giving up that control was a tough thing for me.
Sure.
The last stumbling block that I can think of, Dave, is belief. Belief that I could do this. Belief that this was something that I was capable of doing, being successful at, and living here and being and remaining successful at it.
It's the hardest thing to do a lot of times is to get that belief, and the way to do it is to consistently be successful and live in success. And over time, that belief will come. And I'm glad that it's there for you, or it's coming. It's greatly improved. Is it all the way there? You have the belief now that you can do this forever?
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt that it's going to always be work. And not every day is a bed of roses. As a matter of fact, you know, even today, you know, I have struggles. I have struggles with time. I have, you know, trying to make everything work and fit in and meals and not coming home and raiding the refrigerator, even though I'm not hungry, but wanting to eat just because there's food there. You know, and I have to stop and think about it and say, am I really hungry or am I just eating because I'm all stressed out about not having enough time to get everything in today? So it takes thought and planning and a desire to do it. And I desire to do it so I know that I can do it. My learning to achieve my goals, setting small goals that are achievable and achieving those goals have built within me a belief that there's nothing that I can't do if I want to do it. I just know that if I want it, I can have it. I just got to think about it, plan it, and invest the invest the resources, and I can achieve it.
That's excellent. Excellent. Excellent viewpoint, excellent thought process, and I'm really glad to see that that's where you are right now. Well, one of the things that I want to ask you about is, you know, there's lots of different coping mechanisms for stress in our lives. People will turn to various forms of outlets, food, alcohol, drugs, you name it. And you've been open about it. It's the only reason I'm asking you about it. And there are a lot of people that are going to be able to relate to this, which is another reason that I'd like to kind of go down this path just briefly. But you've talked about how, you know, you've battled and are in recovery from alcoholism, and that was obviously one of the coping mechanisms for stress in your life. So as you were battling that, can you give us a little idea of how that intertwined with this process and when that was really begun, and what do you do when the alcohol goes away and the food doesn't go away, but the foods that you would have turned to in your times of stress are no longer there for you to numb the feelings? What happens when the alcohol and the food have been removed as a primary coping mechanism?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't put a finger on when it really happened. It was kind of one of those creep things, you know. It started several years ago with a beer on the way home or after work, something like that. And just got to the point where I was drinking every day and that I needed it. And it really got bad when I had a really bad, stressful day, or if I had stressful family, emotional stuff going on. You know, the first place I went to was to the bottom. And I tried several programs and nothing really just seemed to fit. And when I started this program, it became very, very apparent quickly that I was not going to be able to continue drinking and be successful with the program. So I took a real hard look at what I was doing, and I chose the program over my continued drinking. Not having the alcohol there as a comfort for me was a difficult thing, because at the same time, I'd also given up some of my favorite comfort foods, the chicken wings, the, you know, the french fries, the, you know, the pan of brownies. And it was difficult, it really was. But there was one class that I remember us talking about the addictions, and I very distinctly remember a phone call where the coach, you shared with us a very, very tough and emotional time in your life. And one of the things that I remember you talking about is that you have to feel it, you have to deal with it. And by going to, in my case, the bottle, the drink, or afterwards the comfort food, you're doing nothing more than masking it or hiding it or driving the emotion down to come up again later. You're not dealing with it or getting through the situation. And that's one of the things I had to learn with coping, was that not having the alcohol to go to and not having the comfort foods to go to, I had to feel it. And I had to work through the emotion. I had to think about it. I had to make decisions that before I might not make about the situation. And it was very, very difficult at first, but as I became better at coping with it, it became easier. It became less of a draw and more of a habit than how I dealt with stressful situations.
So this was all going on during boot camp. You came to the revelation as it relates to alcohol actually during boot camp, just as you had to come to the similar decisions in relation to food.
Absolutely. So it was giving a lot of comfort up for sure.
Yeah, that's,
and I say comfort, but
yes.
You know, the fact of the matter is that some of the foods that I thought were my favorites before, really, or my comfort foods, I still love the brownies, but I know I can't have them. But I have other favorites that I've found, other stuff that I enjoy eating that are just enjoyable for me.
Well, one of the sayings we have is nothing tastes as good as living lean feels, and sometimes it's which is, you know, what I want to ask you about is, you know, you've mentioned that you know, it is work, and it does take effort to create the kind of change that you have, and you know, be top of the class and do as well as you have. It does take effort. But the question that I always say, or the point I always try to make, is it's not about whether it's hard, it's about whether it's worth it. So, you know, the alcohol, no more. Maybe, maybe not brownies, never again. But, you know, it's much lesser quantity, and certainly not in the frequency for every little whip stitch of a thing that comes your way as a coping mechanism. So in the give ups that you've had to do, in the work that you've had to put into it, you know, what I want to ask is the bottom line question. It has been work. You have put effort into it. You have given up some things. But is it worth it?
That's the $1 million question, because there's no doubt that it's worth more than anything I could possibly describe to you. I can't tell you how happy I am with my body, with being lean. It's an unbelievable feeling to be able to live like this and be lean and to like seeing yourself in the mirror. Kim thinks I'm insane. Because I love the way my arms look with the leanness I have. There's veins all over it I've never seen before, and I love it. I think it looks cool. But, you know, maybe some people don't like it. I don't know. But I like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's your favorite part? What do you think your favorite part about living really lean, when you compare it to you were morbidly obese? What's your favorite part now about living this way?
Coach, I think for the first time in my life, I could say I'm truly happy. I mean, not tell a joke or laugh at a joke, funny, how happy, but just truly deep down happy and at peace inside. And I think that's one of the best things. I mean, I love being healthy. I love being able to run 3 miles at the drop of a hat. I mean, I can't say enough about being in that kind of shape. I love it, and I'm not stopping there. I'm looking forward to being able to run longer distances, and I'm working at it every day, getting better times at a 5K. And I don't know if you have time for a little story, but I posted this on the board the other day. We've got a spot in the plant called the Tower, and it's about 350 feet up in the air, and it's got an elevator. Elevator's quite unreliable, and many times we'll find the elevator's broken and have to walk the steps. And this particular day, I had to go look at a job all the way at the top, and I had a couple of younger colleagues, younger and in much worse shape than I was, that needed to go with me. So I kind of fibbed a little bit. When I got over there, I told them the elevator was broke. We had to walk the steps. I left them on the second level, sucking wind. By the time they got to the top of the tower, I'd already walked the job down, had everything lined out, and as they crashed to the top of the tower, I walked over and called the elevator up and said, "Gee, they must have got it fixed already." And I know that sounds a little bit evil, but it was funny. It tickled my funny bone.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and like you said, the guys that were younger and just simply in not as good a shape, you're able to do that without batting an eye. It's awesome. Absolutely awesome. Well, earlier you had mentioned too that you were looking at, you know, various health parameters. You had a lot of things going on: high blood pressure, diabetes, all of that. Have any of those parameters improved, and if so, how?
Yeah, as I said, I was in pretty bad health, and I knew deep down that I had to do something different, or I was just going to be at a point where I wasn't going to be able to do anything. I wasn't going to be able to get myself better. I don't know that when I went into the program that I knew this was going to be something that happened for me, but because of the fact that they were constantly trying to get my medications right, up in doses, changing medication, trying to get my my cholesterol, my blood pressure, and my diabetes, my blood sugar levels normalized. I'd had some blood work done not too long before boot camp started, and then about halfway through, I had to have more blood work done to check the effectiveness of the medication, whether it was too much, too little, so on. At that point, it was real clear that the changes I'd made in my eating, in my nutrition, and the exercise had made a marked difference. They took me off several medications, and the ones that I was on, that I remained on for a period of time, they significantly reduced the dose. By the end of boot camp, there were only a couple of medications that that I remained on. They're medication that I'm going to have to take for the rest of my life, but they're manageable. It was a significant reduction in the cost of my out of pocket expenses. I was spending a significant amount of money out of my pocket every month for copays on my medication. Just that alone was more than enough to pay for the cost of my boot camp several times over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially when you consider what we call the lifetime value of that, huh?
Yeah, without a doubt, the return on investment was enormous.
Well, that's just awesome. It's, you know, it's so nice to hear that you're able to get off several medications and improve those health parameters along the way. And I think I heard you right that you had said that it wasn't something that you had given it, you hadn't given that part. Did I hear you right that you said you hadn't given that part the most serious consideration along the way, but because they were adjusting medications, that's when you kind of realized that it was making a significant difference?
Yes. I knew that exercise and eating differently should lead to me being healthier. And that was part of why I needed to do it, why I wanted to do it. And, but I just had no realization. It wasn't in the forefront that it was going to be that much of a difference, that it was going to be, look, these doctors have been telling me for the past 15 years, quit eating this, quit doing this, start exercising, you won't need this medication. And it was easier for me to have them give me another pill or some other medication or up this dose than it was for me to change how I was living. Truth of the matter is, if I'd have done what they had told me to do 15 years ago, I'd never have been here now.
Well, the good news is that you are here now, and had you done it when you were 31, you're absolutely right. Earlier the better. That's the lesson here. The earlier you can start, the better. However, since I have clients that sometimes are still struggling with this well into their 60s because they just haven't gotten to the right education system, the right program, it's never too late to start. At 46, you know, we're glad you were here. We're glad you found us when you did. And some would say it was an accident. I would say that it was destiny. But there's no doubt at all that you were successful. But if you would, Kelly, just a couple things, maybe movement-wise, cardio-wise, or maybe strength-wise, would you do just a little compare and contrast, a little before and after? When you just give us a couple of examples of how you're either able to move or exercise now, and compare that to when you were, you know, 252. So maybe something like, you know, at 252, I had a hard time doing something, but now I can do this. Compare that a little bit, would you?
When I was at 252, I couldn't walk two flights of stairs without stopping and resting. I now can walk, 572 steps to the top of the tower without stopping and not be terribly winded. For me, that's an amazing thing, because I don't know that I've ever been in that good of shape, even before in my 20s when I was exercising regularly. I think, without a doubt, I'm in better shape now than I was then in my 20s. When I was 252, I was only bench pressing about 85, 95 pounds. I could easily bench press about 165 now. When I was 252, one of the favorite sports of mine is racquetball. I couldn't play racquetball because I couldn't run back and forth on the court more than a few times, and I had to stop. I was winded. So if I couldn't exactly place the shot so that I didn't have to run, I was done. I tear it up now.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's a huge difference. I mean, and that's why I wanted you to describe it for the listeners, is because no one can really get inside your head and experience the changes that you've experienced and the true difference between where you were and where you are now, what you were able to do then and what you're able to do now. So that's just awesome to hear. Thanks for sharing that. Well, you were successful, no doubt. And just in kind of closing things out a little bit, during boot camp itself, how many times did I meet you in person during this weight loss that you had?
we never had the opportunity to meet in person during boot camp. The first time I met you in person was at the graduation party.
Yeah, so I got to ask, you know, so many people are wondering, you know, do they have to travel for this program or something like this? Do you have to, you know, hold hands the entire time as far as, you know, being in person, sit across the table or desk to do this? How is it that you were able to be successful without meeting me in person, and what about this internet system?
Well, we live in a society today that we've got an advantage that many people didn't have years ago, not even so many years ago, with the internet, Skype, texting. It's amazing how well you can communicate and exchange information. And the thing that amazed me was that you can't, and believe me, I thought about it, and other people have tried it, you can't game the system. You coaches have been doing this too long, and what amazed me was that he would know what I was thinking about or talking about or fixing to do and would call me on it. And he would look at logs and be able to tell that, hey, something's just not quite right here. What is this? And that accountability, that oversight, was one of the great support tools that helped me to move through, have that discipline to know that even though I wasn't there, that you weren't holding my hand, you really were that in touch with everything I was doing, looking at my food log, looking at my exercise logs and saying, does what he's telling me and his weight loss and what he's eating really, really all match up? Or is there something here I'm missing that I need to ask about?
Well, thank you for sharing that. You're absolutely right. The internet has made it as such. I was an early embracer of the internet. We've been on since 1997. It does make it possible to help people change their lives from the inside out, really educate, provide that two-way communication so that it's not just information going out to you, but you're able to feedback questions and information back to me so that I can review it, analyze it, and help you make tweaks to the program. And like you said, also to maybe call you on something that just doesn't seem quite right or clear something up just because there it could be a simple matter of confusion. But you're absolutely right. You know, we never did meet, and I don't meet probably 99% of my clients in person. But it was a real pleasure, of course, to meet you at the post boot camp party. But that was the first time that I met you, you know, during your transformation. It's always a pleasure to see the amazing changes too. And as I said, people in my view always look better in person than even the pictures do, and you were no exception. So it was so cool to see you in that high 5% body fat range. And
the 5%, I love the 5%, and I would estimate based on when I got measured for the 8%, I'm probably somewhere between the 5 and the 8 right now, and I want to go back to the 5 and live at the 5. I was pretty comfortable at the 5. I was comfortable with what I was eating, and I like being there. 5% is a cool look. I like it, and I think it's sustainable. Sometimes life gets us, and we get busy, but having the tools available to me to go back to continue to log food and log my weight and see what's going on makes it all possible to continue to maintain, to be where I want to be. I mean, like you said, there's a lot of feedback that can go on through the website, through the internet, through the private messages and the private coaching. And I think something that I didn't touch on that was really important in everything that happened for me throughout boot camp was the support from the other people in boot camp and from the other lifestylers, and seeing their stories and being part of their lives, and in some cases seeing the things that they were doing and not doing it because you know, I'd rather learn from somebody else's mistakes than to have to make the mistake myself and learn from it. Sometimes I'm successful at that and sometimes not. But having that support group, not just the coaches, but having the other folks there that had a common story, a common problem, and in many cases having some feedback about how to get through tough situations. And sometimes somebody just telling you it's okay, get up, dust yourself off, let's get back to it, is all you need to really get you back on, get you motivated.
Absolutely. Well, in giving you the final word, I want to ask you, for someone who may be listening who was in your shoes when you started, they have coping mechanisms that maybe aren't ideal, but it's what they've grown accustomed to using, whether it be liquor, food, or other things. They maybe don't have the world's cleanest past, may have a few tattoos, may not, maybe blue collar, maybe white collar. Whatever they are, they're at a place where they really don't want to be, and they're wondering if they should make a move, take a step, take a chance. What would you say to that person who's trying to decide right now whether they should give Leanest Lifestyle and our new Lifestyle 180 program that replaces boot camp, if they should give either program a chance?
Well, the one thing I could say about it is that this is the one program that I was involved with that had everything I needed to make me successful and to make me the success that I've become today. From the tools on the website to planning meals and tracking progress and creating my why and having a leanness account that allows me to look and determine where I'm at with my calorie intake and my calorie burn, having the support from the coaches and the class and the different lessons that taught me about more than just transforming my body, but transforming my thinking and how I feel and how I react and deal with different situations, learning to respond and not to react, learning to put the gap between the stimulus and the response. This was the program that had it all. And anybody that's listening, I want you to know that you are capable of far more than what you believe you can do. I never thought that I could where I'm at now. Coach knew I could. I didn't believe it. Being part of this program made me a believer. Having those goals, being able to set those goals, have those small successes that build every day to have those achievements made me a believer. And I know that now today that there's nothing that I can't do if I want it.
Well, Kelly, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today and taking some time out of your busy day to inform the listeners of what your journey has at least partially been about. This is just a scratching the surface a success call, but at least wanted to make sure that your story got out there, because I think you just did such an outstanding job, and you really did make that transformation that we really try our best to help our students with, is an inside out job, and so for being the grand champion male student for Bootcamp 15, congratulations on not only the external changes, but the internal changes that we all observed along the way and that you continue to exemplify. We look forward to following your journey. I know that you're a master's candidate now. Other people listening can find out more about that later. But you've got your bachelor's, you're a master's candidate, and you're on your way to earning your PhD in personal weight management. So I look forward to following you along the way and helping to be a part of that journey in whatever capacity you see fit. And again, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. I'm eternally grateful. I don't think there's anything I could say that would appropriately convey my gratitude.
Well, I appreciate all that you've said. It's to me, it's more than enough, and I know that your call today is going to help a lot of people that would have otherwise not made the right choice, and I hope that they do. So thank you so much again, Kelly, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thank you for listening. This is David Greenwald of Leanness Lifestyle University. For more information on programs we offer, visit leannesslifestyle.com. That's LEANNESS lifestyle.com. I look forward to working with you personally and through the wonder of an inside-out transformation, helping you to not only turn your body, but your life around.